Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together.
Nicole Brienne, welcome back. You are one of the most memorable podcast guests of all time. You know, I still like that podcast changed my life and the way you've heard me on like so many different things. And I'm like, my friend Nicole said this to me once.
I feel very honored.
All the time. It was just, you are an incredible person. You, for those of you that don't know, Nicole shared her story of divorce and grieving love in that way and processing through that. And today we're here for a different reason. You shared a recent Instagram about friendship, separation. I call it, I've had friend divorce is how I've labeled it. Separation, yep. Ending of relationship, pause of relationship, whatever happens, a new season of friendship. And I thought this, you were the person that I needed to have this conversation with, because I feel like friend divorce or separation or breakups or pause, it's so untalked about and there's so much shame in it. And it's almost, there was a point in my life where I said, friend divorce was harder for me than any romantic breakup because there was no room to talk about it. There was only room for gossip. There was no need to have the conversation on either of our sides as to why it happened and how we process and move forward. And yet, if you get through an actual divorce, like you have to go through those, you have those conversations in a breakup. You don't just walk away. And it's always been something that is really difficult to process and difficult to talk about, especially when they're like a whole other living person. But what you shared, I was reading in the comments, and there was a lot of people who have gone through these things. So talk to me a little bit about how you began to share about this and kind of where you are now with it all. First of all, just tell everyone who the heck you are. Just give them a little refresher. Sorry.
No, oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, my name's Nicole. I'm actually a photographer here in Toronto. But I feel like I'm more of like a curious human behavior person, like, and photography is just kind of like my medium to express that. But yeah, I recently went through, or I guess I'm still kind of going through, a pretty life-altering best friend breakup, pause, whatever. And it was like the friend that, it was like the friendship that could eat other friendships for breakfast. So yeah. I think that's also why it kind of like felt harder, and it was the friendship I've talked about in other podcasts and stories.
I wondered if it was.
Yeah. So that, I think there's more shame in that when it was like this 25 year long friendship. And I actually have a podcast that I've started that only has a few episodes so far, but that's where I talked about this and I got very emotional, as well as Instagram. And I talked about contracts, like the unwritten or like unconscious contracts we sort of sign when we become friends with someone. Mm. And whether that's like in elementary school, you become friends because you have the same like hobby at recess or whatever. And then, you know, you go to high school and you start having different choices. And it's like, are we going to sign new contracts, even though like this person parties and this person doesn't, or do we just kind of drift apart, you know? And then there's kind of like, when you're single, you have like your single friends contract. And, you know, these are the things you do. These are like the memories you make. This is how you hang out. This is kind of what you expect of each other. And then someone gets in a serious relationship. Do you kind of like re-sign the contract as like, okay, well now I'm a relationship person. So is there enough here to kind of keep this going, but the friendship might change? And I felt like for my friendship, we had gotten through all the contracts from, you know, since we were like five or whatever. And now we are embarking into pregnancy together, which in my mind thought was like the perfect way to stay friends. You know, you hear about friends like where one person's settling down and the other person's not, and it doesn't work out. But I thought like that this would only, you know, bring us closer. And so when it didn't, I think that my heart just really wasn't prepared for that to even be an option. So yeah, so that was very hard. And I think it's still hard, and it's hard to talk about now because even though I've tried to reach out, we haven't had like a conversation to define that it's over. Yeah. And so to talk about it here, I don't want to out her as like, it's over when like she hasn't decided that it's over. There just hasn't been any communication for several months. So it's, it feels over, but until I know for sure, I can't say it's a divorce without that sort of acknowledgement. And so for me, that's why I mentioned to you that I've been calling it like a pause, because It might be a pause that leads to a divorce, but my heart can accept that it's like on pause, you know? And it's until we both have,
I was going to say, like, it's almost like when you go through a separation where you're like, we're going to go and work on ourselves and come back together and see if it works. Right? Yeah.
And that's, and for a while, I think that's what my like heart needed. It was like, okay, we just need some space to kind of let the dust settle a little. There was also a wedding, which, as you know, can always stir up like a wedding with children and a huge wedding and during COVID, and different views on how to like handle all that is generally just a recipe for drama or like heartache or hurt or whatever. So I think that kind of also contributed, but I think for a while I was like, okay, maybe we just need space. And, you know, as more time is going on, and it's true though, like I went on my trip and that was like the first time that I didn't think about this person, which is so weird because you think of that in the romantic sense. You're like, wow, I just, you know, I went a whole week without thinking about my ex or like creeping them or whatever it might be. But I was like, oh, wow, like I feel happy and I haven't thought about this person.
Yeah.
And then it's like that weird, sad, happy thing where you're like, I think what was weird to me was that we were only friends for the first half of our kids' lives. So like now that Remy's one, we have been friends, like she'll never know a life with this person as my best friend, which is just so strange to me. But yeah, the thing I really realized and learned in talking about this is that like, oh my gosh, everyone has had some story of friendship breakup, divorce, separation, pause. And I think that we don't really talk about it, like you said, because of the shame. And because of, I think, the support too. Like generally, if you go to your office and you're like, oh, I'm going through a divorce or a breakup, they're like, do you need to take some time off? Do you need to work from home? Like, you know, like friends will kind of rally around you and be like, oh, we should just pop over on Friday with some ice cream, or like, you know, like let's invite her to dinner and try and get her out of the house or see what she needs. But with a friend, it's kind of like, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. And then they
back to life.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the right thing to do is. I mean, I have a couple of friends who have checked in now and then, but I mean, now it's been, you know, 8 or 9 months. No one's like, how's that friend breakup going? But it still hurts. It still hurts. Right. And it still affects me. And so that's something that's been interesting to navigate too. And just like I feel like with friends, there's not as clear of a boundary when they end, like a romantic relationship. It's like, okay, the contract is over. Like you're only really in most people's lives, you only kind of have one romantic partner. So when you decide that for whatever reason, it's not working anymore, you're like, okay, we will no longer be romantic. We will no longer live together. We will cut our communication, or like, you know, whatever it may be. But with a friend, you're like, in life, you're allowed to have more than one friend at a time. So it, it's really like an active decision when you decide to no longer have this, you're essentially like opting out.
Yeah.
And that, I think in a way that feels more hurtful, because you didn't have, like in your mind, you didn't have to lose that friend. You're allowed to have 5, 10, 20, 100 friends. So to actively choose not to have a friend feels very personal and like vulnerable, I guess.
I never even thought about that. I've had two major friendships that like didn't work out in the end. And for a long time, like for years afterwards, if I even heard their name, it was like really difficult for me. And the first one, we were friends for 24 years. And that was like our claim to fame. We were friends for 24 years. We'd known each other since we were 5 or 6. And it was like one incident that, well, like, let's be honest, in almost 25 years of friendships, there's going to be stuff that happens. But like one disagreement that was like a really small one just tipped it, and it just went to us like not talking. And then it was like months, and then years went by, and it was sort of bizarre because the only way that people wanted to talk about it was to find out what happened. And I don't know that I felt like both of us were holding on to this relationship because it'd been 24 years that it was like somehow we were bound to each other. But the reality was, I don't think we were great for each other in the end. I think the longer that the time went on, I think the more we realized that our lives, like it was probably best for us to go into different areas and not have, and also like in terms of like breakups, it seems like a mean move when you like unfollow each other on social media, but honestly, it's like a protection of your heart. It's so hard watching that person. And when it happened the second time, it was like way later, but it was really impactful because I felt I didn't ever want to speak ill of them, but I also didn't know how to comprehend what happened, because essentially it was like a more of a ghosting situation where like it was just never talked about. And that was really difficult. And then I look at my relationships now, and I have, like, even you were saying, like when you have kids together, you expect that it's like that's going to be like really formidable for, you know, your relationship. And even circumstantially, like my friend Ariana, we've known each other for like almost a decade. We've been friends for so long. We've gone through so much together. Having kids at the same time, we're like, this is perfect. Reality is our kids are always sick on opposite times. It's really hard to get our schedules together. It's almost impossible. So us seeing each other is like a rare treat. It is not what I expected in my head. And also like our work schedules are different. Our husbands are like schedules are different. Like we love each other and we don't actually have the friendship that I think we envisioned that we would a few years ago when we were pregnant. We're like, oh my God, we're having babies together. And it's
the triplets,
right? And now we're like, oh my God, like once every 2 months do the triplets get to see each other? And it's hard. And we talk about it all the time. Like, are we cursed? Like, are we just, how can we, like, this is really difficult. So I feel like even within these conversations, there's a lot of thoughts and grief and feelings that happen, and some of it is within our control and a lot of it is not. I mean, there's people that you want to see and you want to have friendship with, and circumstantially your friendship has shifted into a new mode. And then there's other people who, you know, you knew them at a time that your life was very different and now you've shifted into a new place, and it's circumstantially, like you said, that contract readjusts and it changes, right? And I think it's hard to process those things. And I think it's hard, especially when friendship has been so romanticized to be like having a girl group or having like this best friend that you like go through life with. And I think it's really hard for a lot of people when you like don't have that. I have never had like the girl group, and I've always like been invited into other ones, or I've like had little trips with people and there's like these girls trips, and you're like, maybe this will be an annual thing. This will be my girls. And then it just doesn't happen. And you're like, am I broken? Am I like, what's wrong with me? There's a lot of like thoughts and feelings. So how have you sort of, and I'm just going to also say, let's be real, I have made like a lot of friends who their different responses to the pandemic ended their friendships. That's a lot to process on top of a lot of things to already process. how have you sort of navigated this? We talked before when you talked about your divorce and you said that, you know, that's the first time I heard that grief is love with nowhere to go. And you explained that you were pouring it into other people and other things and other experiences. This is a whole different type of grief. And you're married with a young child and you are a mother, but also a human, and you're going through this loss. How have you navigated those feelings and processing them in a way that makes sense for you?
Well, I'm clearly talking about it on a podcast. That's one of my, thanks for having me. You're helping me out right now. But yeah, I feel like I'm very grateful because I have found people who are very understanding of my like need to be an external processor.
Yeah.
And I think not everyone, that's a big thing I've learned probably in my 30s, is that just because someone doesn't externally process something like me, it doesn't mean they're not processing it. Like Lucas is very different from me in that sense. And I think this friend is as well, where like, I want to talk about it all day, every day, or not like all day, but I like to, when a different feeling comes up for me or something small kind of like triggers me in some way, I like to like process it and talk about it and rationalize it or whatever in the moment. So I'm not kind of suppressing all these things. And I know that that's not the case for everyone. So I do have like a few friends that have been so kind and generous to, you know, listen to me, and Lucas too, kind of help me kind of make sense of it. Cause I have a really hard time when I don't know how someone else is feeling or thinking. And that bothers me. Like, I always feel like I can handle being told I really hurt someone or like what I did, but when I can't figure out what I did or like how we got here and how it suddenly became not worth even a conversation, that's been really hard, because we were always the friends that were like, no matter what, we'll always meet each other on the bridge, you know, like, like we, anytime we'd even had a little thing here or there, like where you send that text where you're like, hey, I don't want to hurt your feelings, or like, don't get worried, like, but this sort of hurt my feelings. It's like, we jump on the phone right away and we talk it through. So this sort of like, this sort of weird behavior change of just like a distant, I mean, we already live far apart, so our friendship was always just like texts and FaceTimes and calls. And so I didn't have to worry as much about like the sick babies and whatnot, like you mentioned. And so it felt like it totally would have been possible to maintain. But I think as like time has passed a bit more, I'm at least able to see that I don't know. And like, it's sad to accept, but I don't know if we met today without any history, if we would be the friends that we were before. And, and that's comforting, I guess, in the sense of like that. And it's so funny how you can have like beautiful friends around you, but as soon as like that one person decides that they're not in your life anymore, it's like that one mean comment on Instagram or something. It's like 1,000 people can probably tell you something amazing about your post, but then when you get like one or two, I mean, you probably get one more than one or two because you have so many followers, but you get like one or two mean comments, and that's what your brain wants to hone in on, right? So I think just being able to have someone to like talk to or process with, and even just all the messages of support I had from people when I talked about it online, not even that they were, you know, validating my experience, but just even sharing theirs and feeling like they weren't as alone in their own experiences was just comforting. Just knowing like, this is a human experience, this isn't like a Nicole experience, is always nice. But I think like what I've thought about with friendships is that like, it's hard when you put so much of your identity in a friendship, kind of like you, how everyone was like, oh, we've been friends for 24 years. And, you know, I'm similar to you. I'm very public with my love of people. Like I, you know, everyone knows your friends, at least the friends you talk about online, like Alicia and Brianne and stuff like that. I'm sure obviously you have other friends like and you have neighbor Becky and everything, but I obviously know you probably have other people that, you know, you're not plastering on the internet, but this was a friend that, you know, I was always talking about online, showing so much support. And so there's that weird, like undoing kind of that. And my identity was so wrapped up in this friendship that I almost didn't really know who I was for a while without it. And I think I placed a lot of my worth in this friendship, in the sense of like, when we were younger, she was a friend that really helped me, you know, like find my confidence in myself, and everyone just loved her. And somehow she made her way all through high school with like exuding this kind of like the teachers loved her, but the students loved her. And like the kids, like everyone's parents loved her. Like she just kind of had that air about her that I really admired. And she was the one that told me to talk about my divorce. And I think that's, in a weird, twisted way, that was kind of what inspired me to talk about this, because I was like, she's the friend who would tell me to do it. It's just unfortunate that she's on the other side, kind of.
Yeah.
But my one last thought before I lose it is, like, how do you grapple with, like, no one now will ever know all my stories and my secrets. And like, I think that's the one thing that always kind of gets me emotional is just like, you know, for 25 years, she was like the keeper of all my secrets and my cheerleader and like all this. And the thought of like, you know, like she's, there's still so many things that I think of her, right? Because we just have that history. It's like a romantic relationship or anything where, you know, you have your person that like has been with you through so much of life and just like knows you. Like no one else will probably never know me that in that way and to that depth other than like, you know, Lucas or whatever, but even still, he didn't know me when I was five. Yeah. So
no,
that I think, and maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe, you know, like life is still so beautiful and rich and other people are fulfilled without that. But that was like a part of it that was hard for me is like navigating the, just that, like, who am I without this person and how will I ever fill that hole? You know, that grief.
And grief. I even get a little choked up when I see people celebrating like their 60th wedding anniversary and knowing that I met my husband now too late. We'll never have that. Like chances are we'll never have that. And there's part of me that's like, I'm sad that I didn't know him earlier. I'm sad that I don't get to have that. I remember when I had like my 10th anniversary with my ex-husband, it was like the biggest deal, right? There was like, and then all of a sudden you're like starting over again and you're like, wait, I don't have that same storyline that other people have where they're young and they fell in love and they built this life. And then all of a sudden it's been 60 years and you get to celebrate it and there's a cake and there's a huge party. And I'm like, I'll be lucky if we get, you know, any sort of number of years. I'm trying to do the math in my head, 30, 40. And I don't, but I think what has helped me through that has been the recognition that it doesn't mean that our relationship is less than. It just means that it's different. And I think when I look at my ex friendships, what's really hard about them is like, I have no idea what's going on in their life. Like I genuinely don't know anything. And that's hard, is like truly being on the outside wall to their life, that I can't even be like, hey, our relationship shifted, we drifted apart, but like still cheering you on. And that I only carried negative feelings afterwards because I was just so sad and so hurt. And honestly, I felt like I couldn't talk about it. So what happens when you don't talk about it is it just builds and builds and builds, that you just get angrier. Like, why did you leave me? Like, why was I so bad and like so not enough that you had to do this? And it's taken me years to be able to I'm not going to say that I have like happy feelings, but like compartmentalize them into chapters of my life and recognizing that they were beneficial to parts of those chapters and that they're not in the thing now, but that doesn't mean that they're bad. It doesn't mean that I'm bad. And it doesn't mean that like everything is a catastrophe and that I'm some like unworthy. And I think too, because it happened twice, that you see it all the time when people are like, well, what's the common factor? And I was like, it's me. I'm a common factor. It's taken me a lot of new friendships to be like, you are not a problem. Like, you are not too much. You are not a burden. You are not like any of those things. It's taken so much effort. And it's also made me really guarded. You know that when you tell somebody your secrets, you're like, holy crap, they're actually not bound to me forever with them. Like, I actually have zero control over what I told you in my life from you never speaking of it again, because we're no longer, like you said, in the contract. Where are your feelings now? Like, I'm glad you're talking about it, because again, like, the thing is, it's not hurting anybody to talk about it. Like, we're allowed to share our experiences without it directly impacting somebody. I think it's important to talk about feelings. There's so much shame and hush hush around this stuff that, and especially in the era of like women support women. So like, you're just supposed to eat your feelings when something happens with another woman. Like, that's so hard for me too. Cause I'm like, what are you supposed to do with all of this? Where does it go? And it's taken me a long time to even be able to like say out loud that I've gone through friend divorces. But where are your feelings now? And like when you think of her, are you still like in a, are you still in a good place with it? Are you processing through it? I'm a processor too. And I'm an external one, which is unfortunate for my husband mainly.
Yes, I feel the same way because my husband's also like an internal processor. So he's like, doesn't really understand why I talk about everything so much. And sometimes just like out of nowhere in the car, like something comes into my mind and he's kind of just like, whoa, where'd this come from? And you know, like he does his best, but it's just different. And, and yeah, I think I kind of have waves. Like I try to be pretty empathetic and I'm like, I gave some time to be like, maybe she'll reach back out to my message, which she said. So I reached out, got one reply, replied again and got like a thank you for this. I just need a couple of days to process and then never heard back from that one.
Yeah.
So I think I was pretty empathetic for a while in that like, okay, you know, what was my idea of time and what was this other person's idea of like a bit of time to process. But now that it's been several months, I think I've had a bit more like anger of like, okay, you've definitely had time to say something. Like, you know, you've known me for 25 years. You know that this is probably eating away at me a bit. And, but then I have other times where I'm like, how lucky was I to have this friendship for as long as I did and what I learned. And, you know, this person helped shape me into who I am today. And I'm grateful for that. Like I wouldn't probably be the same. I wouldn't probably be on this podcast. I wouldn't have been on it the first time.
Yeah.
With you without this person's support. So I still have a lot of like gratitudes towards the friendship. And, you know, there's so many things that can be playing into someone and their actions that actually have nothing to do with me. And I know that's hard because we always want to think like, if they liked me, they'd reply, or if they liked me, you know, but it's like,
if you wanted to, he would, also, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And to a certain degree, I do feel that way, but there's also just like, I can't remember if you posted about it. I think you might've, but I think Elise Myers posted the other day about how, like, if you only have 20% to give and you give 20%, that's 100%. So, you know, this person not being able to reach out right now might be as much as she can do right now. And, you know, me putting a narrative on that is up to me whether or not I want to, you know, decide that it's because she hates me or whatever. That's, I don't know that. So I'm just choosing to make myself sad if I think that. And I think the other thing that's interesting about friendships and divorce, like divorcing from them or separating, is that like, I've noticed that her joy sometimes makes me feel like it's attacking me. Like, as soon as I got one of the messages once, it was like, all of a sudden there was this other best friend and it was like, we're doing all this stuff this year. And I decided like that was somehow targeted at me, like to make me feel bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we talk about that enough either. Just like the nuances of social media and reading into like someone not viewing your stories anymore when they used to, or like, and it's like, I've had friends who are like, well, I don't always watch your stories. And I'm like, right. But that wasn't what our friendship was based on. So like, you know, when there's been a change in behavior, you, like we know the nuances of each of our individual relationships in life. And just like, it seems so silly and petty to talk about that stuff, but it can really affect us, you know, like
100%.
And so that's taken. Yeah. And like that's taken a bit of time to kind of work through, is just like, if I choose to look and it makes me sad, like that's on me. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, there's, like you said, there's that weird phase where we're like strangers now. And sometimes it's like, and I don't know the answer to this, maybe like Brené Brown does or something, but like, and that's why I said contracts and pauses, because I feel like sometimes, and I've had this with another best friend before, where we kind of had the weird, like falling out. And then I ended up running into her at the mall in Calgary once. And I was like, I'm just going to say hi and see what happens. You know, it's been enough time. Like what's either she will say hi back or she won't. And we had this like amazing hug, ended up going for coffee. It lasted like 7 hours and we've managed to rebuild a different contract. We're not best friends.
Yeah.
You know, she was in my first wedding party and I wasn't in hers and I was not offended. Like we were able to kind of find new ground. But I feel like that's the one thing that's hard, is like when you have a best friend in it, and there's just so many feelings, it often ends up, like you said, where you're strangers. And I'm like, well, why can't this friendship be the like the casual acquaintance where at least like I'm not feeling anxiety that I might run into her or, you know, like, yeah, it's too bad that we aren't able. And I'm not saying that everyone would be able to do that or that that's healthy in every circumstance, but the sadness of someone going from like my person to stranger is, mm-hmm. is like a sad, you know, and then there's the new level of sad where she'll stop making me sad. And then that's kind of like the opposite of like, love isn't hate. It's like, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting? What's the word for
indifference?
Indifference. Yeah.
And the opposite of hate is animosity, not love. It's indifferent. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I know that that'll be sad because I remember feeling that way about my ex-husband where mm-hmm. once I stopped feeling anything for him, that was almost like a new level of sad because it was just like an, I don't care at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I care about everything. That's like my, that's my thing.
Yeah.
So
I also think it's important when we talk about this to recognize the dumper to dumpy syndrome, which means the person who's dumping has processed a lot of feelings on the front end. They have already worked through a lot. They've been thinking about things. They've been they've been having these little moments. I had one friend and like, sorry, just to finish that thought, then the dumpy is sort of like learning for the first time. And that's a lot to sort of take on. Like when you've been dumped, you have to process after the decision's been made. When you're dumping, you're already processed and you're just finalizing what you've processed. And that can be a lot for any situation, even like job loss. I mean, you have to process all of that, but the person letting you go was prepared. Like they knew, and you have to kind of find it all out afterwards. And one thing I want to share, like two little different things, but one of them, I had a friend just speaking into like the nuance things. There was like I'm very much of the heart now after having like two friendship losses, being like, I want to fight for the friends that I love. So that means having uncomfortable conversations, not just pushing everything aside so that by the time the relationship ends, you're like, oh, thank God, like this was a toxic relationship I was in. I shouldn't have ever been in it, and sort of like validating it that way. But really being like, hey, I care about this person. I want to bring things up with them. And one of my friends, when I brought up with her that I felt like she had gotten really distant and whatever, she was like, I just feel like you stopped engaging on my social media at all. Like you didn't really watch my stories. You didn't really like my posts. You didn't really talk to me. And I was like, oh, damn, this is somebody who rarely posts on social media. So like the reality was I had just not seen it. But for her, it was a whole different thing. And it woke me up to like, we might have different experiences in the same relationship. And we're both sort of hurt for very different reasons. And then the other one was, I actually had a friendship pause last year because of we worked together and the working relationship changed. So therefore it impacted our friendship. And it was as simple as them believing that it was hurting me to kind of be around, to pop in, to text me, to call me, that they decided in order for me to process, I was likely needing time and space. The reality was, if I even heard her name, I'd burst into tears. Like I would burst into tears. And until I finally started talking and sharing with like other people that were like around the situation, them being like, she misses you so much. She thinks that you need space. And I'm like, I don't need space. I need a hug. Like
I need her. Yeah.
I need her. Oh. And now she's back in my life. And it was like so quick that I was like, I'm so sorry that I'm so sorry that you assumed I needed space. And she was so sorry that she assumed that. And it was just, we both just genuinely missed each other and were able to come back together. I think all of these stories are really important because they just show how much the nuance of things and how much women aren't talking about stuff and why it's okay to have uncomfortable conversations with your friends directly. And even if it means that they don't reply to you, like that is what it is, but at least you put in that effort. I know I at one point texted a friend and, you know, shared some feelings I was having, especially around that same type of thing. I see you hanging out with all these people. None of those people are me. Is something wrong? Did I do something? Do we need to have a conversation? And we had the most beautiful conversation about friendship out of that. And the big thing being, she felt like she was becoming a burden to me because I had such a busy life. She didn't want to add on to that when she had the ability of doing other things and being able to, you know, have other friendships when I had the capacity for like five of them. She didn't want to burden me. She was like, I just never want to do that. And at the end of the conversation, she said to me, and I'll never forget it, thank you for being the type of friend that will have uncomfortable conversations with me. And I thought, God, is this growing up? Is this maturity? Because those last two friendships were in my like 20s that they ended. And it was like, bygone ghost forever. We're just completely strangers now and it's never changed. And I think that there is a different way. I think that it comes from talking about it. Like you said, we're not talking about it. There's no books on friendship in this regard. We only see the glamorized versions of friendships, and then we see people no longer being friends, and we have no conversations beyond drama of everything in between. How have you navigated sort of working through your feelings without it being dramatic and like the woman versus woman? Like, it comes to mind, like, I know they weren't friends, but like, look at the world and how we've treated the Selena and the Haleys. Like, and it's just, you're on one team or the other. There's nothing in between. You, like, you're either one side or you're not. And it's really, to me, highlighting the realities of what it is to be a woman in relationships with other women.
Yeah, no, that situation, ooh, I feel very bad for both of them.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'm not the most followed women on the internet. But one of the things that has been helpful is I actually have one friend who is still friends with both of us. And having her as someone to talk to has been really lovely. Because I think oftentimes people feel like they're like in the middle, if that makes sense, where, like you said, like they don't think they can talk to either of us because they don't want to get involved or whatever. And that was one of the biggest messages that I got, was that sometimes feel like people feel like when they lost one friend, they almost lost a few.
Yeah.
Because they'd hang out with other friends who are close to the other person and they, no one would talk about it. And they're like, this is a huge thing that's weighing on me. And they wouldn't mention that other friend because they knew there was some sort of hurt happening or a breakup or a pause. And so to me, I'm like, I want the friends who know her to be able to talk to me and make sure, like, I'm grateful that I have friends who are willing to talk me through what I'm feeling and tell me sort of like where my feelings are valid and what I might just be like projecting or what might be like, they're not afraid to be like, that's fair, but that one's petty or whatever. Because I always like to know, I never want to think that my truth is like the only truth. And I try my best to think about other people's experiences and how I could have affected them, even if I don't know, or how they might be feeling because of X, Y, and Z. But I think it's nice to have people to kind of like keep you like, yeah, just be able to like validate your experience, but also keep you like level-headed, I guess, if that makes sense. And I think one thing I would tell your listeners is that, like, if you have a friend that you know is going through any sort of breakup or pause or divorce, whether you know the other friend or not, just like check in and ask, because sometimes it makes a world of difference. Just being able to check in with your friend, like whether it's been a day, a week, a year, 5 years, it never hurts to say like, how are you feeling about your friendship ending or pausing with that person? Because I'm sure it's been a lot. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you know, sometimes I go see a friend and the fact that they won't mention that other friend makes me feel weird because I know they've seen her recently and then they don't know what to say. And then now we're all awkward. And it's like, you know, they could just say like, would you rather me talk about her or not mention it? Like, what do you feel good about? And like, at least we'd feel relieved of like the like kind of stuff. And so I think just even having conversations with your other friends who might be like around the other person, just kind of like making sure you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So that's been lovely for me, is just having, like, I'm very fortunate to have people to talk to. And thankfully, like you said, as time passes, you know, they like the thoughts and the conversations like minimize a bit. And it's weird. Yeah. Like, I feel like when I finally kind of like accepted that this was what was happening, it's like all these amazing kind of things came into my life. And this has been like a really busy month and some really cool opportunities have like popped up that like, I don't even think my heart would have like almost allowed for, because I was just keeping so much like protected and like, I wasn't living my life. I was reserving. It's kind of like the grief is just love with nowhere to go. I was reserving so much like energy for this person, whether it was like love or just feelings. And now that I've been able to kind of like take a deep breath, like I feel like I was living with like my shoulders like tight to my ears for so long that now I'm kind of like, and it doesn't mean I'm fully healed, and it doesn't mean that like some days don't still sting, or like I forget to have muted something on TikTok and it's like right there when I open the app or whatever, but it's that, it's the like allowing myself to maybe let some love in that I kind of hadn't for a while. And that's been at least one silver lining.
One thing I always think about when it comes to relationships ending too, or pausing, is when we like, even to just go for the grandest scale of like a war, both sides believe they're doing the right thing. Both sides do. We always have it like there's an enemy, right, and there's like the protector, and there's like one good and one bad. And the reality is they both believe they're doing the right thing. And I remember when that concept was taught to me, and that was like one of the earlier times that I started to be like, wait, they've had a total, like they are having an experience that they're validating how this is for them. And I'm having an experience to which I'm trying to validate what's happening for me. And like, we both might be right. Like we both might be right and we both might be wrong. Like it's a tricky part about friendship, especially. And it is complicated when there's other people involved and you do feel like I can't talk about it because I'm going to impact other people's opinions or I'm going to impact all of these different things. And I wonder for you, has it really brought up any feelings from your romantic divorce, like your like losing your former marriage? And now having this friendship, like has there been like intersections where you're like, this actually feels like something I've been through before?
Yes. I think in some ways, because this person helped me through that, I've had some of those moments where like, I'm like, well, I must be the problem because that was my longest like romantic relationship. And now I've lost my longest like friendship relationship. And so I think if anything, yeah, that has kind of intersected where I'm like, I must be the problem. You know, once people know me deep enough or like for long enough, there must be something that they like uncover that makes me, you know, not likable or, mm-hmm, or whatever. But I think if anything, that was maybe one of the things that I was like, really like, it was such a part of my story that this friend got me through that experience that I think that that was probably one of the like ties that has been very hard to like mentally let go of, you know, like, if someone's there for you through something so life-changing and you get a tattoo of it, like, let me remind everyone that I have my three best friends had all picked a flower for my tattoo for my arm. And which, oh, like, wow. That doesn't make me sad. Yeah. But, like, that was still a part of my story. And like that, yeah, that doesn't affect me at all. I have tattoos for other friends too. And my dog and my kid's name on my knuckles. Yeah. So that's to me, tattoos, that's more just to show the significance of the friendship and the divorce. So like kind of processing, yeah, a bit of that. And just cause that was like the one liner, like when people, oh yeah, your friend who got you through the divorce, like it was such a part of like both of our stories, mm-hmm, that, you know, that I think was maybe hard to process, but I mean, there's not really one thing you can kind of pinpoint as like the thing. I think it's just generally just hard to go through friendships. And something you mentioned earlier, which really stuck with me, so thank you, is just how you were talking about how you and Shane will never have like the 60-year anniversary or whatever, and how sometimes that makes you sad. And I think that when Lucas and I got married, we had a very intimate like party after we eloped, and we both only had a few friends to invite. And we were kind of like trying to pick who yeah, to invite and whatever. And he really valued history in his friendships. And I was like, you haven't seen these people. Like, they're not part of our story. Like, and he's like, but we've had this history, and I really, yeah, value closeness. And like, and to me, it doesn't, I think that that's a good reminder for me. And I appreciate that you mentioned it, is that like time doesn't equate like closeness or value, because I think you and I both know, having made friendships in our 30s, that, and it's like romantic love, like it doesn't have to have a history to be important. And you know, mm-hmm, I know there's some quote somewhere that's like, you haven't met everyone in your life who's going to love you. And I just think that's cool. Cause, yes, like, you have no idea who the next like best friend or close friend that might be a lifetime friend. It might be a season. They might just come in for a certain amount of time, but I think accepting that can happen is also really special, that like, you know, who knows who, like maybe today I'll meet some friend that's going to really impact my, yeah, life, or maybe I can impact theirs. So, and like, you'd never, it's so funny how we say that to ourselves about like, oh, I'll never have a 60th anniversary or whatever. But it's like, if, you know, if you met like a 60-year-old woman today and she fell in love, you wouldn't think that her relationship was any less valuable. But when it's like our own, we're like, hey,
I know,
you know, I feel slighted that I won't get that. But yeah, it's true. Like, you obviously met Shane at the time that you were meant to. And like, you know, you got to have Lemmy and you wouldn't have had her otherwise. So I hope that even though you might not get your 75th wedding anniversary or whatever, that you'll have your amazing years. You're like making up for it, I think, in like,
That's just it, right? And I think like when it comes to like divorce changed me because it just, I had this whole other relationship. There's, I can't discredit that that relationship changed the way that I looked at new romantic partners, right? And I think that that's the one thing that makes me really sad about friendship stuff is that I'm different now because I've lost two of them. I'm probably less trusting and a little bit more guarded because of those situations. I've had moments where I've been a bad friend because I have reacted in fear or jealousy, and I've been the bad friend because I've had these other experiences of being the fear of being left, especially when like I genuinely only keep such a few amount of friends. When one of them feels threatened, I feel like my whole world is caving in because it feels like it goes back to that time where everybody was looking at you and everybody was talking about who's at fault and what happened here. When it happened in my marriage, it was hard. But when it happened in friendship, it was like somehow bigger because I think people could in some ways be like romantic relationships end, it's a thing. But like with friendship, it was like, who did what happened? And I remember one time I just was like feeling left out, feeling jealous. And I made a comment that I shouldn't have. And it really like, I don't in a friendship. And I think that that was so fear-based and so reaction-based from losing other friendships, which is so unfair to the people I'm in relationship now. And that's a huge part of why I think we need to be able to talk about this stuff. We need to be able to go to our therapist and be like, this friendship is actually why I'm here. There's marriage counselors out there and there's no such thing as a friendship counselor. Maybe there is, I actually don't know. But it just speaks to volumes of like, these people are like, especially when we talk about like our ride or dies, like they're rarely like a man in our life or like a romantic partner. It's like the person that if all of that falls apart is your person. Like if everything else changed, like you're still with me. We have it. Like I'll help you like
the body. Yeah.
Like I'll help you bury the bodies and I'll cover for you. Like there's so much like I've got you for life. And then when it's not for life, then you're like, I don't know that I will ever feel safe in a friendship again. Because I told you my secrets, because we were supposed to do this forever, and now it didn't happen, I don't want to restart that contract with somebody else. And like my friends now, like Brittany's like my slow burn, where she just like, we were so slow into like falling in love with each other in that regard as friends that like now there is definitely on both sides, we have a fear of like, what if anything ever happened to us? Like, and I genuinely love her so much. Like I don't, it would make me so sad. I have, you know, Becky who is like at my doorstep when I need her and she'll say no to something once and I'll be like, oh my God, they hate me. Like I just immediately go, they're so unfair. There's, you know, there's my Ariana who got me through some of the hardest times in life and we're just straight up busy. She doesn't hate me. And I have to remind myself of that over and over. Or, you know, Bailey, who's across the country. We just can't have the relationship that we used to where we saw each other like every 6 weeks when travel was all the time, when I didn't have a baby. These people, I love them so much. And some of them are easier. And then there's like little phases that are harder. And the reality is those other relationships ending have impacted the type of person I am. And I hope that you see that too, of how important it is to talk about these things, not just for the relationship and, you know, healing through the pause of it right now, but the reality of like this happening is potentially changing future contracts.
It's true.
For you.
And I think that just like, as you kind of mentioned, you talked about like therapists and stuff, but it's also just like wild that we don't have more TV shows about this. Like, there's kind of like gossipy disputes or like cattiness, I feel like. But like in general, like you grew up watching a lot of like romantic love stories and like, you know, Taylor Swift albums and stuff. But it's no one's really having like friendship pauses, breakups, and actually like processing them in like a healthy way on TV where it's like part of the narrative. And yeah. So we don't know what to do and we don't know how to like act. And it's true. I'm sure it is going to impact me in, you know, future friendships. And I hope that I can still bring like the good things that I learned from this. And also, you know, like you said, where I'm sure I'll be nervous and, but I'm the same way. Like I'm always like, they hate me. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, oh my gosh, you know, it's sometimes just in us, I think, to feel that way. And it's like, no, Nicole, like, doesn't mean they hate you just because they couldn't do one thing or like, you know, you forgot to reply to their text for 3 days or whatever. So, but it's hard to get out of those. Like,
I think it's also in us to compete. It's in us to be against women. And I think that we forget that. We forget that the entire world is positioned for us to find fault in each other and to point it out and to feel it and to note it and to defend ourselves against it. We are constantly pitted against each other. And we wonder why when we come into conflict that that feels like the easier solution than it is to actually process feelings, talk about it maturely, and go through that. People can have messy, messy divorces and people still get it. But a messy ending of friendships is just the only thing we know. It's all we know. I've never actually had a conversation with someone who's like, this friendship ended and this is how we are like healthier and better people today because of the way that we handle it. Yeah. We're co-friendshipping. Like we never hear about it. It's never talked about. It's always drama. It's always catty. Unless it's like a really beautiful movie where like somebody had a little conflict and they came back together, but not in this way where it's like years apart and all of that stuff. I have hope that if I see any of the people from my past in my life, they will only feel love from me. I think for a time I was like, if I ever see them, I would just, you know, walk the other way and like show them how hurt I am. And now I'm like, no, I just want them to know that they're loved. And if I'm not in their life, that's okay. And like, it is a bit of like an indifference, right? And that's, I'm no longer sad about that. I think for a long time, I held so much anger. I went from love to anger. I won't say hate, but now you're just in this space of indifference is actually really peaceful. And it can be really great to get to a spot of like, I actually just will care about you from the outside world. And I don't have to fix it. You don't have to be a different person. Nothing has to change, but how I no longer want to carry the weight of, like they say that forgiveness is like, and I'm not saying forgiveness even for something going wrong, but just at the end of something, I think there sometimes has to be a level of forgiveness. And they say that to not forgive is like to drink the poison yourself or something like that, like some saying. And I like always think about that, like, God, it's only punishing us. It's only punishing us to like sit in this hurt and not talk about it, sit in this hurt and hate somebody or like have feelings of hate towards somebody. Anything opposite of like just the reality of this ended and I don't actually know how to process it, but I will just choose to forgive even if there was nothing to forgive. There's just this is closure. How are you sort of transitioning for yourself into this next phase of life of unknowing? Are you feeling hopeful? Are you feeling guarded? Are you feeling excited to be starting to have some of these conversations and opening up that gateway for more women to work through this kind of stuff? Because to be honest, you're the first person I've ever seen. No, that's not true. I saw a TikTok once of a girl talking about a friendship breakup and I was like, damn, nobody's talking about this. And then you talked about it and I was like, wow, she is the one to talk about it. And I'm so glad you are.
Yeah, I feel like one thing that I've really tried to tell myself that in life there are people who are like meant to be naked so that other people don't have to. And I mean like vulnerably. And yes,
yeah,
and you're like
on the
naked and physically and emotionally.
Actually.
But I feel like for me, and I felt this in my divorce too, is that a lot of people don't talk about things until they're kind of like packaged in a box with the bow. And it's like, okay, like, I've heard a few podcasts where people kind of talk about friendship divorces, but it's similar more to you where like it happened like, you know, several years ago or whatever. And I'm like, no, I want to talk about it now, like while I'm in it, and I'm not going to sound perfect and it's going to be like a little sloppy and messy, but I'm at least speaking from the heart and, you know, I'm in the thick of it. And so anyone else who's kind of in the thick of it, maybe will be able to relate to that. And something you said at the beginning of that thought was just how, like, if you were to run into anyone now, you used to think you'd act a certain way. And now you're like, you think you might be more kind or just kind of like, yeah, I'm indifferent. So like, I can still kind of like support you from a distance if I were to bump into you or whatever. And one of the nicest messages that I got when I talked about this was actually one of my friends. We were like best friends, dancers. We moved here and like we were roommates for a while. And then I started dating the person I married and we had like a whole falling out. And it was very hard on me because that was my first kind of friendship breakup. And she messaged me after my podcast and said, I'm in Shoppers Drug Mart or something like, and I'm sobbing listening to your podcast. And she's like, I know that you and I had a friendship pause several years ago. And I want to tell you that that whole time that we were paused, I had nothing but love in my heart for you. I know. She's like, I just need some time. And so she's like, I hope that no matter what happens in this friendship pause, that like, I hope you know that it's probably similar. And I think that that was just like so beautiful that like, you know, and for anyone listening that like, if you're in a pause that or a breakup, that like chances are at the root of the other person's heart, whether they don't have the capacity to reach out or, you know, they have done something hurtful, it's still likely that like deep inside them, they have love for you. And I think that that was just like really nice to hear. And there were stories that people sent, like messaged me that they ran into someone that they had had a friendship breakup with, like 10 years earlier, and they happened to bump into each other and they just like kind of ended up hugging and picked up where they left off. And now they're like friends again. So, I mean, that's why I've been trying to call it a pause. It's like, you just never know. And I don't want to like close all those doors.
You never know.
And like, even if you need to unfollow someone for like your mental health, just know that you can always refollow down the line. Like I always try to assume the best in people and that like no one acts how you expect them to act or how you think that you would act in a situation. Like we're all just doing our best out here. And even if someone's best doesn't look like what you think you would do or what you thought they should do, it's like you said, it's only going to hurt me to like not forgive and not kind of try and move on. So I'm trusting that there's still like love somewhere and maybe it's just muddled with like hurt feelings and just like processing and, you know, time and space and that sort of thing, I assume will at least heal us enough that like, if we were to bump into each other, that I can't imagine that there wouldn't be love for each other, like in time. I don't know when that might be, but I just can't imagine that it would ever just stay like negative forever, just the kind of people that we both are. So,
Oh God, I just wept like a baby at the end there. I think one thing that's like really wild about this is like, it's been probably 7 years since my last big friendship ended and just like how much you hold inside and just like, you just don't ever get a chance to really talk about it. And that's like, even as you're talking about it now and it's like, just the idea that one of them could listen and be like, I'm not hated, like I'm actually loved. And that's huge, right? Like that's huge. And I think like, especially after having like that one last year that went on a pause and then came back, like it really did just like pick back up. And we have like, so like we're just in each other's lives again, even though the contract has changed because before it was much more of like a working best friend. Now it's like, no, now we just get to be friends and we don't have to worry about like that other stuff. And the contract changed. I just think there's a lot of healing there. And I think this is such a validating episode for me. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are kind of in that too, where whether you're like in it and it's just happened or it's been like a decade or two, the reality is most of us have never gotten the opportunity to heal because we've never gotten the opportunity to have a place to talk about this without it being catty, without it being dramatic. And I think it's also so important. I'm sure you've had like a few instances of people like who just invalidate it. They invalidate the gravity of something like this. And we're both sitting here like deeply impacted by a loss of friendship. And that needs to be more, that needs to change. Like we need to really hold space for people who are going through that without it being, tell us what happened. Why did this end? Like at no point during this conversation today have we talked about why your friendship is on a pause. It's irrelevant. It really, really is. Especially like when marriages end, people can be almost respectful to, at first they're all curious about what happened, but the reality is eventually everyone just sort of abides by, okay, we'll never know. But when friendships end, people need it to be something in order to accept it, need to make sense of it. And I think that growing apart is like one of the only acceptable answers in the realm of friendship, what would you say for, I know you've spoken a few things, but if we could just, if you could end on something that you actually wish other people knew about ending friendships or how to be like a better support person as somebody who's like currently going through it, what has actually been impactful for you?
I think if you are someone who likes to process externally, I think even if you're not someone who likes to process externally, I think I'm going to try and make it important to me now moving forward when I see a friend to just like check in. Like I check in on my friends. Like I ask them how like their work is going. I ask them how like their romantic relationships are going, or like if they're single, I ask them how like that's going, if they want to talk about it. But maybe unbeknownst to me, they're going through this and I don't know that friend, or they don't want to, they haven't like posted it online, so I wouldn't know or whatever. And, you know, maybe they would like to talk about it, because I have felt so grateful for the times. Mm-hmm. And I always, to my, you know, I have like a few close friends, like they are so generous. And I say like, I'm so sorry, I'm still talking about this. And they are always like, don't be sorry. Like this is affecting you and it matters. Mm-hmm. But I think the times that they've seeked out asking me, as opposed to me being like, okay, can I talk about this again, has just been, so I think that I'm just going to kind of make that part of my thing to talk about with friends. Like if I go for dinner with you, I'm just going to say, how are your friendships going? Like, is there anything you want to share, unload, you know, because maybe they're like, no, everything is actually going really well. Or they might say, actually, yes. So I think that if we just start talking about it in our friendships in general, I think that maybe we can change the way it goes. And, you know, I look at like Remy, my daughter, and I hope that like, I didn't really ever see in my parents' generation, like, I don't know if my mom really ever had like a friendship pause or a breakup or whatever, or how her friendships kind of ebbed and flowed through life. And I sometimes feel bad that I don't know more, but like, I used to feel bad that I wasn't going to be able to give Remy that example of like best friend, like picture perfect that I thought I was going to give her. But I hope now that I can like, at least give her the realness of like the authenticity that like friendships are very real and hard and complex, and that it's okay to talk about them. I mean, she's one, so she hasn't really been able to absorb much of this particular.
Well, her best friend Lemmy is waiting on the side. They had a play date, but we had to reschedule. I feel they're going to be friends. We'll just, their names rhyme. Yeah. It just makes sense. We'll start us.
They both like toast.
It's going to happen. Like, but it's a lot of. They both love toast. The baseline of the friendship is there. It's good and to go.
Remy doesn't say much.
No, I love that. Either. I think it really is.
She's, I think, going to think your house is Disneyland, though, because like you have so many more toys than we have in our small condo. So like she's going to be like, what is this magic?
I know. Going to anybody else's place is always like that. No, I appreciate those sentiments. I think that I really want... I want there to be more like more talks about this in real time and with real people. And I want our children to grow up in an environment that understands that friendships are like marriages, unions of two humans. And I speak that a lot because I think we value, like, I don't even know how we would all I saw somebody comment on Kat and Nat's video and they're like, if this friendship ever end, I would be more upset than if my marriage did. And we put a lot of weight into the friendships that we actually from the outside in admire, enjoy, look up to. It's a lot to process when things change. I'm glad that our kids get to grow up in an environment to see that it can actually be okay. It doesn't have to be this big thing, and that we can actually talk about friendships out loud. We can talk about them out loud in respectful ways and tones and with love and intention. I think that's so powerful. I think everything you do and the way that you speak into these difficult conversations is really life-changing, as you may have picked up on how I feel about you. But let's just end it off with how people can find you and sort of jump in on the journey of Nicole and all your beautiful little insights.
I was like nervous because I feel like you've praised my other episode so much. I'm like, will I be able to am I giving her something this time? But I feel like that it was just so nice to talk to you just share so many. I feel like I feel like everyone probably feels like this when they talk to you, because you have that way of making people feel so seen. But I always feel like you're like a soul sister. I'm like, I just love her. So thank you so much. Yeah, I am on Instagram at Nicole Brianne, NicoleBrianne. And my baby new podcast that I'm like, this is my gentle, like maternity leave podcast, where I'm like I'm trying my best to put out episodes, but it's slow. It's called Finding Sparkle Chasing Light. And it also has an Instagram, which is that. But yeah, so I'm online. I'm doing my thing. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. This has been a really powerful conversation, and I'm sure it has been for everyone listening too. So for everyone in the show notes, I'll have all those details for you as well. And we will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening all the way through this episode. If you've made it this far, I have one more little thing to share with you. Did you know that I actually have a photo and video editing app? So many people were surprised to hear that I have one, but it's actually been around for a little while, and you can join over 200,000 of the Papaya community by downloading my free app, Pink Papaya, on iOS. While so many apps focus on changing your appearance, Pink Papaya is all about celebrating yourself for exactly who you are and expressing your creativity and your storytelling with nearly 50 free filters and tools. Find us on social and share your edits as well. We might just share them too. So tag me as well at Pink Papaya App. Just had to share that with you, especially as the springtime's coming. We've got some really cool things happening in there and so much more coming. Check it out at Pink Papaya App. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.